Hello, everyone. This is Glenda, and this is Christ's blessing on the 22nd day of 2023. Welcome, everyone. It's a beautiful day in our hearts and a beautiful day for blessings. So we hope that you will open your heart and receive buckets full for yourself. And we're going to turn the call board over to Nancy. Hello, Nancy.
Okay. We have got a caller. It's 430. I believe that's Stormy. Hi, Stormy.
Yes. Glenda?
Yeah.
Every flower, and just because what you were saying about weeping for the world, as I do also, but also I see the joy. But every flower that you have ever painted has brought joy and beauty to a soul that needed it. I want you to think of that.
Thank you.
Every flower you have ever painted has brought joy and beauty to some soul that needed it. And all of us do this in our own unique way, just because of who we are. Nancy's story is bringing beauty, love, and joy to someone who needs to hear about the purpose of life and death, and that we are honored to be able to have the life and death that we have, the experiences. I'm also here. June is really busy right now with house stuff and things and company. And so I says, just before the call, she'll listen to it later. I says, well, how about if I let you stand by me in proxy so you can be on the call also?
Okay, good. Good. Welcome. I'm glad you're both here.
Yes, and I just got some new music for her just a couple of days ago. I left a message on her, and it's a song that I'm familiar with. I don't know the name of it, but I sang it, and because I said her music is changing. I've never seen that before, but her whole paradigm is changing, and there's a new song for her, and I just got it the other day. So there's a lot of that going on, and just before the blessing call, I'm hearing entire nations, Glenda, are getting new music.
Oh, I haven't kept up with music, but I'm so glad to hear that. That's wonderful.
And this is music that's already there or yet to come, but just before the call here, I'm listening to the calling of angels, I got the clear impression that entire nations are getting new music. So there's something good that's going to be coming for all the nations in the world and individuals. So, you know, it's important that we see the troubles in the world, yes, to be aware, but to see the joy and the beauty that is in just one flower that you have painted, or is in an essential oil that you have created and that we put on and wear, and that each of us would wear any of those essential oils, how many other people get the benefit of that when we go out in the day?
Yeah. Oh, thanks, Stormy. That's such a wonderful affirmation and compliment. I appreciate it, and I appreciate you so much. So you're always on the upper edge of everything. And, if I may take over now, led me to remember a webinar that I offered a number of years ago. And it was titled From Change to Transformation. Of course, I can't get into the whole of the webinar now. It is available online if anyone cares to enroll in it. It's a powerful webinar. in regard to the world and the way the world is challenging us, shall we say challenging us today. I think it's challenging us with the need for transformation because we have been, well, let me back up just a minute. I think one of the causes of the world today is not just evil, although it's obviously present and showing its nasty face in some of the horrific events. But overall, the tensions in the world, I think, are more likely caused by such a rapid state of change that we have all been put through in the last, I would say, actually about the last 25 years. And in the early stages of that change, it was really extremely positive, and it brought us into more of a global economy. I really do believe, as I've said many times, that the development of eBay helped to restore small businesses and helped to restore a small business global economy that actually got us through what could have been a terrible economic failure just around the turn of the millennium, which was forecast. We slid through it, not without some degree of stress, but we just slid through it, and it was wonderful. And then other types of global connections brought us into communion with each other. And, well, social media in its early days, I thought, was an extremely positive development as it grew into a force of manipulation and exploitation. Well, conflict. It's just on the opposite side of the spectrum right now. I do not do social media at all. Not at all. And I apologize if anyone has been to our Facebook page and not received a reply. At some point in the near future, we're hoping to appoint someone who has been spiritually and socially vaccinated against all of these diseases. And I'm not talking about physical diseases, all of these conflicts on social media, to actually take over our pages so at least we can have conversations with people and post announcements. But I have personally not been on it for, I would say, about 8 years. It is not something, it's an energy that I do not wish to take into my being, because it's not, there's so much deception, so much control and manipulation and hatred that's being spread through this media. But I think it's a good example of what I'm saying, because I think in its early days, it was a very positive thing, but it became exploited. And the changes, the very rapid and exponential technical changes that we've been through in the last 20 years have been actually exploited and manipulated. So many of them were unnecessary and yet forced upon us. And that's not to mention COVID that was forced upon us and other means of control of population that were brought upon us, and existential events that should not have happened but were thrust upon us. We have been through more change than we feel like tolerating, but it's not that we're inflexible. It's that we want to understand before we go further. That is the responsible side of humanity. when so many things have imposed themselves upon us, whether it be change or technology or just sudden eruptions of unfortunate events, we want to say, hey, wait a minute. I can forgive this, but I want to understand it. I do not want this to become a compound unit of the next thing that's brought upon us that we do not understand. And we're pushing back with an irritable spirit. It's something that I really can understand with compassion and with empathy. And that's why I'm writing the book that I am. It's called The Only Way Out Is Up. And it takes its foundation from the seminar offered many years ago, which was one of the most beneficial and loved seminars ever. That's the foundation of it. But of course, there have been so many other examples of our need for that in the subsequent years. And that is the fact that there's very little room for movement sideways. We have more conflict, more people, more change, more things erupting in the world. Where do you go sideways? Well, my friends, there's plenty of room upward. And that's what you need to realize. There's plenty of room upstairs. And there's a part of you that actually lives upstairs. But we forget. You know, you don't have to go talk to the saints every day. It's good if you pray every day. I totally endorse that. It's good to be with Yeshua every day. But you don't have to walk with the angels every day. I know, Stormy, you do. But for other people who are out in the world and negotiating in high-speed traffic, you don't have to be with the angels in order to be free. You have to be with yourself. That's the key. There's a part of you that lives upstairs. And it's no different than what Yeshua meant when he said to the disciples, I'm in the world, but not of the world. He was saying, yeah, I'm here. I'm fully with you. You know, I eat flatbed bread and water with you. And I sleep on a mat with you. I sit beside the lepers and offer them water to drink and food. I'm not afraid of them. They're my brothers and sisters, just as you are. Yeah, I'm here, but there's a part of me that isn't here. There's a part of me that is with my Father. And with my Father, I have a broader view of this world. Well, you see, your soul actually operates extremely well on all levels of existence. And it's your soul that receives the blessing and then filters it down to the part of you that drives on the pavement and walks on the sidewalk, works in the crowded office, where issues arise every day. And your soul receives this blessing and it's going to hold it until the appropriate time to apply it and use it in your life. Your soul is being strengthened in the blessing. And that's one of the reasons I can say with 100% confidence that the blessings you receive will affect everyone else, because our souls are connected without boundaries. Our souls literally live as a family, a brotherhood, sisterhood of humanity on the high ground of life. What one soul receives is given to another soul, and it filters down in ways that are appropriate and beneficial to life where we live it. So we do live life amidst the hardships. But that's not where we are designed to be and to fulfill our life. Your life is actually going to be fulfilled at a much higher level. For some people, that only happens in the days before passing or in the early days of childhood. This is why children should be regarded as sacred. All children should be sacred. All children should be treated as little angels. And it doesn't matter if they're momentarily disobedient or throwing a tantrum. They're just frustrated because all of a sudden, that soul is waking up to the fact that, oh, I'm here on earth and I don't like it. You know? And what we're supposed to do is give them a hug and say, okay, look, just go back to being the sweet, adorable angel that you are. You're loved. You're cared for. And, you know, it hurts to fall down, but you get over it. You know, and you get stronger. You give them courage to believe that. And you just hold them as little angels. No child's childhood should be taken from them, because that is so much the anchor point of the rest of our life. That's where we know that we're a soul, in that place. And God bless the mothers, all of them. They are the temple. Our mothers are the temple of our life. They held us in perfection until we were born. Then they held us in the arms of love until we were able to walk on our own two feet. So God bless the mothers.
Oh,
and,
beautiful.
And that's what you inspired me to say, Stormy, because, well, you always bring up the higher points to be said. But I think we need to move on. Okay.
Okay, that was beautiful, Gwenda. Thank you. Gosh. Touched me so much, especially in view of Shirley today. But hi, we have Jean now. Welcome, Jean. Your line is open. Can you hear us?
Yes. Hello, Gwenda, and hello, Nancy, and hello, everyone. I called in a couple of weeks ago because I'm in the process of simplifying my business, and I was at a choice point, and as Gwenda pointed out, I was just going in circles, and I was worried about what if I went this way or what if I went that way. And that call was very helpful to me, and I'm asking for a blessing to keep on going with simplifying my business, and for prayers and thanksgiving as well. I was, after that call, I was doing a lot of praying and, just, okay, I need to take a step. I know what I need to do. Still being fearful of the consequences, and as I'm praying and praying, I just kept hearing, just do it, just do it, just do it. And I thought, well, okay. And Gwenda, you said it doesn't matter if you make the right choice or not. It's just you got to make a choice and go with it. So I made a choice. I went with it. And it looks like it's going smooth in that area. I've probably got about 50 more, I want to say of those choices, probably four or five big ones and then a bunch of smaller ones. But I really felt like I had made some significant movement and kind of like I'm eager to go through that process with, you know, finding out the information that I need to take a step with this organization and then with that organization to resign from some of the different organizations, and it was really helpful. And please, everybody, and Jesus, keep the prayers and the fortitude coming, and safety, and moving ahead. And one of the things I thought of too, Glenda, that you said was, think about kind of what I'm going to be free to do after I get rid of some of these complications. The things, you know, like you talked about, that people have a destination, and mm-hmm. I feel like my business supported me for a big portion of my life, and I've been working on other aspects of, like, environmental protection and that sort of thing, which I will be freed up to do more of that as my business is simplified. So thank you, and keep the prayers coming.
Oh, we sure will. We sure will. And yes, you know, the choice points never stop, Jean. They're with us all through life. But what makes it hard at times is when too many of them happen at the same time. And I think that's what you were looking at.
Right.
When we talked the last time, it's just too many of them all in your face, and you just didn't know which one to make first. One of the things that I have concluded through years of experience examining this phenomena of making decisions, confronting choice points, is that, I started to comment on with Stormy, and then I decided to go in a different direction. I was referring back to a seminar I did years ago called From Change to Transformation. And that is that when the changes we make in life, usually they come after choice points. We make a change. When it leads to transformation, then we've made the right choice. We don't know what it will result in always, you know, weeks or months down the road. But if it results in transformation of the way we think, the way we hold ourselves, the optimism we have about the future, and what we can do inside the rest of our choices, then we know we made the right decision. When change leads to transformation, then we know we have been guided by our soul, because that's the work of the soul. The soul brings about our transformational life. Our embedded life that walks on the pavement is the one that has choice points and deals with change. The difference is, change is kind of linear. It's like, well, I'll do this thing now, and when I've done that, I'll do this thing, and then I'll do two or three more, and I'll move on to the next thing. And it's kind of linear. It moves forward. And sometimes changes get into a traffic jam, which is what you were in. Too many of them being required all at once. Okay?
Right.
And you can't move to the right or the left in traffic. You can't pass anyone. You're stuck in 5-mile-an-hour traffic. Okay. Well, that's what changes look and feel like. They're the car on the pavement on the road. Transformation is what your soul does with the changes you make. And so if there's a transformation happening, then you know your soul is happy and your soul is working on it.
Yeah, there is a transformation happening, so yes.
Good. Then you made the right choice.
Yeah. Well, good. And I have to just, like, keep going, you know, just do it.
And just do it. And watch for these affirmations of transformation. Watch for them. That's actually what we need. Sometimes in life, my friends, we're forced to make a decision about something. And we think, well, it doesn't matter. If I do this or do that, it's all bad. Well, my friends, it's not all bad. Sometimes we have to make choices inside of a predicament that doesn't give us a good view of light at the end of the tunnel, because that tunnel has curvature to it, shall we say. Mm-hmm. Tunnels are not always a straight line. And
right.
We're inside a tunnel, and we're not sure about this decision or that. Okay, the one that that holds potential for transformation is the right choice. Because your soul can see around that tunnel. Your soul is like your GPS. You go into traffic, and you don't know where you're going to get a break in traffic, but you look on your GPS, it'll tell you whether it's going to road going to fork off, and you could take that road that's going to fork off, you know. And it may still have traffic on it, but it gives you the option for taking a different route. That's transformation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what your soul provides to you as you go through the networks weaving through life.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. That's all very helpful.
Good. And, you know, just to add one more thing to that, sometimes when we're in a traffic jam or when we're in a tight place, the best option is not always, I mean, the thing that looks the best is not always our best option. It's not always our best option. It really isn't. It's like Yeshua went to meditate in the desert, and Satan came to him and said, "I will offer you the world. You can rule the world. You are the empire of the world. Just say yes." And he said no.
Mm-hmm.
Now why would he say no? Well, for him, no was pretty easy because he's not going to take orders from Satan. That was pretty easy. But still, let's just say he was an ordinary person and couldn't totally see that this guy was evil. All right. We could find ourselves in that predicament sometimes. And I was offered a contract for Love Without End, the book, back in 2001, in the summer of 2001, for $3 million. And, hey guys, you know, that looked pretty doggone tempting, because I thought, this was a major publishing company, like Harcourt. Okay. And I thought, and they will promote the book, and I will go around the world. And as I was about to take the contract, and then I asked to speak with the editor who was going to work with the book, and she gave me some of her ideas. And some of her ideas involved taking the word Lord out of the book. It involved taking the word Master out of the book. And it was going to secularize the book. And I said, I knew I needed to check this out. If I had just been so enthusiastic about the money, it could have actually ruined the covenant I have with Yeshua to do this work.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, I struggled financially for years, but look at the community I have. Look at the opportunities I had to travel around the world and meet people and then develop the book into another book and then that into the church. And this, what has happened on this side of the equation, is a wealth that cannot be translated into money. So sometimes what looks glistening and glowy isn't really what's going to make your life into the best option.
Right. Yeah.
Tempting. Oh, those temptations are in our faces in so many little ways, right?
Well, it's hard to walk away from $3 million when you're just barely paying the bills.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're doing everything yeah. that you're doing for this community and all the webinars. And, you know, I've been on these blessing calls pretty much every week. Yeah, for years, you know, if I'm traveling or something like that, I miss it. But, yeah, for about 20 years, I think.
So. I think so.
Yeah, so thank you. Thank you for making the right choice.
Oh, thank you. I did. And this, my wealth surrounds me every day. And it's not always in money. Actually, most of it is not in money, but it still surrounds me. And it carries me through everything I need.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Jean. And I hope that the things I offer today will give you the courage to make choices that make your soul happy. That's the key.
Okay.
If your soul is happy, then your life will be fulfilled. And that's
mm-hmm.
your wealth. That's
mm-hmm.
your wealth.
Yep. Thank you, and it's been very helpful.
Okay, great.
Thank you, Jean. Wow, that's the word, Glenda, courage. I think everything you said just gave every one of us some courage, and regardless of the situation, if it's big, small, but thank you. And thank you, Jean, for bringing that up. And now we have Stephen. Hi, Stephen. Welcome today.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah,
we can.
Yeah, okay, good. Well, first of all, I wanted to thank you. We asked for a blessing for Wendy in March, I think it was. She was going to have an operation,
yeah.
So she's back at work. She's feeling pretty good, so I really appreciate it. I wanted to ask for another blessing. I asked for my son probably 2 years ago. You said something about a dam breaking or something. I can't remember.
What?
A dam breaking. Like a water. Anyway, I can't remember what you said, but anyway, you said something about that. But today, right now, he's been in a relationship with his partner for like, I don't know, 10 years. They have a 6-year-old daughter going on 7. And the partner can't stand him. She wants him out of the house. Like everybody agrees, he's a good father to the daughter. But it's really a difficult situation. The partner's mother died last week, actually, when you were giving your call. And so that's sort of... the son had a good relationship with the mother-in-law, but I mean, my son had a good relationship with the mother-in-law. But I guess the death of the mother caused the daughter to go over the whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really a difficult time for him. We're really concerned about him, and you know, just want to ask for a blessing.
Oh. Of course. Oh, of course. Yeah, well, I feel him. I feel completely the devastation that he's going through in his heart. It's, to say it's hard is an understatement. It's one of those things. You can't wrap words around.
Yeah. No, it's, you know, it's, I don't know how he manages. I think I would have given up a long time ago. You know, we were out with him last night with him and his daughter, and we were at a Mexican restaurant, and they gave her a sombrero. So she's walking along the street, and it was a homeless person. And so she gave it. Her sombrero to the homeless person. You know, it's incredible. Like the children nowadays are so conscious, you know.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
I am really impressed with the children today. I really, really am.
No, I mean, I think they have one foot on the other side or something.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's partly because who really wants to be here right now? think they were born with the courage to stay on high ground as much as they can. And it's actually going to create some awesome young adults as they grow up.
Yeah,
they're going to need it.
They are.
They're being prepared. They are being prepared on high ground, and that's what's showing up in their character and their personality right now.
Oh, that's a great way to look at it. Thank you.
Yeah. I really appreciate your blessing. Thanks.
Thank you.
Would you mind telling me your son's name?
Yeah, it's Jasper. I named him after, one of the three kings and the stone in Revelation.
Exactly. Okay. Well, it's good to have a name because I'll keep saying it during the week. Keep saying, Jasper, have courage, you're loved.
Yeah,
I really appreciate it, Glenda. Thanks. And Nancy, thanks.
Thank you, Stephen.
Okay.
Actually, I have a beautiful egg-shaped stone out of jasper. I'll give it blessings.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Actually, I put his name in a wall in Jerusalem. You know, like they stick those papers in the wall and the Wailing Wall.
Oh, you did.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
I was there in 2003. I worked for Sar-El. It was like a volunteer thing for the army. I'm not Jewish. Anyway, so I went to the Wailing Wall and stuck his name in the wall.
Oh, well, what's going on over there right now must be very hard on you because you can really empathize with the people. You know them.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Stephen.
Okay. Thanks.
God bless you.
And
your granddaughter's name? And your granddaughter's name?
Vienna.
Vienna.
The other father-in-law, like his father-in-law, was from Austria. So, anyway, Vienna. Yeah.
I see. Oh, it's Vienna.
Yeah, Vienna, like the capital of Austria.
Yeah. Okay, got it.
Okay. Thanks, Linda.
Well, God bless you and all of your loved ones.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Glenda, we do have more callers. I'm going to open up Ann's line. Hi, Ann.
Hi, Nancy. Can you hear me?
We can.
Hello. What?
Hello.
Can
you
hear you?
Hi, Ann. But we can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I want to express deep gratitude. I called in for a blessing, I think back in late May. I had been diagnosed with chronic kidney disease. And I really, even though I also am not a big fan of social media, I don't go on it, I don't really participate. But when I heard how, the negative aspects of a chronic kidney disease diagnosis, I went online and started to Google, who has, cured kidney disease and diabetes or reversed it rather, and found some Facebook group that kind of planted the seeds. It wasn't exactly what I needed, but it brought up some really important themes and some important strategies to working with my health. And I'm so happy to say that after making some major changes in diet, exercising more, even learning some new ways of breathing, and right now I'm hiking, so if you hear me breathing heavy, that's what it is. I'm just so excited. I went from, you know, a year of being on the edge of kidney disease and slipping into it to 88% kidney functioning, which is, you know, almost 2% away from, you know, what we would consider normal functioning kidneys. And then I was pretty close to diabetes, and now I'm just on the edge of pre-diabetes. So I'm hoping in time to reverse that too. So I'm just super, super grateful that that I get to experience my life in the fullest. And so,
amen. And, you know, I really see in your word, in everything you're saying, I see the presence of your soul taking over. I really do. That greater part of you. Just think, what if our soul was in charge of our life? How different our circumstances would be. And you bring out the best in everything when your soul is in charge. And actually, I'm grateful that you balanced out what I said about social media, because it's not all bad. Actually, there's a good side to it also. It was very good in the beginning, and there's still a good side. And that's where people come together for a purpose. And there's a special purpose that brings people there. And it's not about politics or who's right and who's wrong. It's about people being there for one another. And that's the good side of anything social, anything. So I'm glad that you found that group that helped you. And most of all, I want to affirm that you are helping yourself in the greatest way you can by being your best self. And I see it. I hear it in your voice, in your breath, in everything about you. So it makes me very grateful to have been part of your recovery.
Yeah. And thank you, because it's like sounds like you're saying, I hear you saying to everyone that, you know, part of that blessing was you hearing and implementing things that you wanted, you needed to be changed. And you did it. It was just so cool, you know? It wasn't just like, boom, overnight. Yes. It's something.
Yeah.
You made these changes. And sometimes the blessing is, you know, having the courage and then taking those steps and having the strength to do it. And you did it. 88% kidney function. That's pretty awesome.
Thank you.
Pretty darn good.
You know, I'm really...
I mean... Sometimes the blessing comes as the miraculous hand of God causing an immediate change in our life. But I have noticed overall, in most cases, the blessing comes by God communicating with our soul and saying, come on, Anne, wake up. You're in charge. Let's do better. You can take over. You know what to do. You know how to heal your body. You know how to find the answers. And I'm with you. And the Holy Spirit stands beside you. And it guides you to bring the betterment of your life. And let me say to everybody, that's the way God prefers it. Because he brought us here to find out how to be the better self we can be in the midst of challenge. That's our reason for being here. He didn't bring us here so that he can write a get out of jail free card and pass it down to us. I mean, he will do that. If there's no other option, he will do that. So just know that whatever it takes, will be done. But he would rather do it your way, Anne. So you're a shining example for how the blessings really, really work when they work at their best.
Thank you, Glenda. I have a question for you. I have felt on this journey that I've been so tuned in on how to help myself. You know, as I listen to different videos, it's like, bing, yes, I know that's something I need to explore or try. And then I'd get feedback from my body that was positive and, okay, keep heading that direction. And I guess what I would really love to experience, I think because of the diagnosis being such a dire one, it created such a seriousness in my mind that, you know, I really need to pay attention. And so I was wondering if you had any advice on how to, I guess, in a sense, I woke up mm-hmm. in regards to this diagnosis. And I'm wondering how, if you had any suggestions on how to just wake up in general to our lives. Yeah, I'm like, wow, I bet my whole life could be this juicy if I just can be present to my true self.
That's a great question.
And we've all done it. We become so involved in the world that we forget who we are. And we think all the answers are, the world has no answers for you. I'll tell you right now, it has no answers. It only has more challenges, more questions, and you get to the point where you start asking the questions. And that's the change point. That's where transformation occurs. See, the world is always asking questions. Well, okay, well, how can you pay your bills tomorrow? Is this a job you really want to have? Do you actually want to live in this neighborhood? Okay, well, how are you going to use your money this month? I mean, the world is always asking us questions or making demands upon us, and it captures our attention. When we start being the one that asks the questions, that's when things start to transform, not just change. A transformation has occurred. Transformation is turning around. That's what it is. It's turning around. And you always ask the questions. You ask the questions, and then you'll get answers that are important to you. And that would be the number one advice that I have. And the other thing is, and I think this is the biggest problem with social media and also with social support groups, is people just want to talk. And they talk and they talk and they talk and they talk. And pretty soon, you don't know who to listen to or who's the best person to listen to. You go to support groups and everybody's talking. And in many cases, they talk over on top of each other. And you say, wait a minute, who just said something? Okay. So my next thing is listen. And stay in environments where you can listen. I would highly recommend YouTube for the very reason that you've got pretty much the same choices there that you have, for example, in a group on Facebook. But on YouTube, you can listen. And if they're not saying anything of value to you, you can just turn it off without being rude to anybody. And you go on to the next one. You can scroll and choose and scroll and choose, and you find, oh, you know, that sounds really good. And there are a lot of good speakers and a lot of good information on YouTube. So I think it's one of the most valuable of our, what I would call free choice media. You know, we can't say what we're going to hear from, the corporate news. I don't know what's beeping there, but it's not me. So when, you know, we tune into corporate news, we don't know what we're going to hear. We're going to hear what the broadcaster was told to say. And that's probably something that somebody else said to say. And it goes all the way up to a political venue. Anyway, but on YouTube, there's a lot of free choice, a lot of intelligent people, and you can just click out if you don't like where it's going. Or you can take what you need. You don't need the rest. And I think it's a very, very good source of free choice information that you can listen to. And then you can pause it. You know, here's what I like about it. If somebody said something that was really powerful and I want to pause it, so I just click pause. And I think about it for a few minutes. And a few more minutes. And they say, oh, okay. So I take my viewpoint on it, and then I start it up again, and I listen to more. You know, one of my favorites I've been listening to is Rabbi Manus Friedman. He and with what's going on in Israel, he's had some really, really profound things to say. Of course, as you might imagine, they're the more Jewish thing to say, rather than most of his messages are universal, and anyone of any religious background could really learn a lot by listening to this man. He's so compassionate, so wise. And I have learned a lot, because, and I went there initially just by chance, and then after he spoke a little while, I thought, you know, Yeshua probably had some rabbis like this. I'd love to hear some of the things he might have heard in the temple. So I got involved. I just listened. But the reason I thought of it right now, because it takes me back to a comment that was made just a few minutes ago on our call. And that was about how wise and how noble and compassionate our children are today. And he made a comment. He said, don't worry about the world. Our new generation is the godliest generation I have seen and I have lived through. He's in his 80s. He said, I have lived through many generations, and I was born during the Holocaust. And I have seen people who had the strength of Job, the forgiveness of Job. And I have never seen a generation as godly as the one being born today. So I thought I'd pass that on to you. So that was from Rabbi Manus Friedman, which you can find online. He's a really, really delightful, wise gentleman. And And I don't know how we got to this point. Sometimes a little digression is a good thing. But we support you in your recovery 100% and continue our prayers for you.
Thank you, Glenda. Thank you, Nancy.
Thank you. We love you and receive the blessing today. And now I'm going to open up a new caller. Glenda, we have... area code 832.
Yes, hello, it's Christine. And I always start my calls or my requests with such gratitude for you, Glenda and Nancy. And Nancy, I'm so sorry to hear of your loss, but I listened to the call last week and I heard about your little grandchildren too. So I just wanted to extend congratulations for that as well.
Oh, thank
happy
you.
And sad for you at the same time.
Absolutely.
And it's odd, all of these things that you've been talking about, Glenda, have been aligning with kind of what I'm trying to ask for blessings for. But one thing in particular is YouTube has been huge. I have been going through a transformation, it feels like forever, but specifically, you know, the last 2 years after the loss of my dad's really jump-started some change. And I have found recently shadow work is really making sense to me and integrating the unconscious into the conscious. So I've been really going down rabbit holes with that, and that is so helping me understand a lot about why I act the way I act when I really think I want something else. So this is an amazing call, as they all are, but this is really an incredible call. And I had a kind of like a three-part blessing request. I work at a think tank in Houston, and we have a big event coming up on Thursday, and our staff has been, on edge, lots of friction, and I just would love a blessing for our staff to just merge together, work together seamlessly. I've been under a lot of pressure and anxiety, and I myself would like to ask for a blessing to become, you know, be able to tap into that, quantum wisdom, that you talk so much about. And I know that it's in there. Sometimes I don't know how to get there. And just kind of quiet my anxiety for that day and let my emotions be stable. And then finally, our director was actually called to the Middle East to work with the humanitarian issues over there. And I would love an extra, extra special blessing for him and his family. And anyways, I know a long-winded blessing request, but please, that would be lovely.
Oh, well, you know, the blessing request is all really, it really wasn't that long-winded or that complicated because it's all about the soul again. Your soul knows where to find quantum wisdom because it lives in it. And how do you find that? Be the best that you can be. Be the very best you can be. And in being that best, you will have instant access to that quantum wisdom. I thought of one thing while you were talking. It was just something that I suggested to a group of people years and years ago. There was almost endless corporate friction going on, and I was trying to help a couple of people. They were friends, both working in the same corporation, and I suggested they create a stack of affirmation cards. And I said, make them large, get some cardstock that you're going to print on so you can put the word on it, and put words like chill, harmony, solutions, progress, opportunity. You know, they thought about, I think there were about 20 people working in that department, something like that. And they made the same number of cards of the people that work there. And they had a little meeting and they asked if everyone would like to draw a card. And so that it wasn't dished out as if we're saying you should be the one who chills or you should be the one who agrees. You know, they drew the cards out of a box, and they had all agreed that they would post the cards with tape on their wall or their partition, and so what they would see every day in that office were these 20 words of affirmation. Within a few days, they had the problem solved. I think it's all because these words brought out the soul in each person. Your soul has the answer. And the world does not have the answer. Your soul has the answer. It's as simple as that. And the same is true for the Middle East. Part of the problem over there is an ancient religious difference that has denigrated into hatred and then had political motivations added to that and bitterness added to that and hardship and poverty added to that. So I couldn't even begin to get to the point of analyzing that condition. So I just pray, thy will be done, O Lord. You know, all of these people need and deserve your love. Let them be loved and cared for and find their way out. But I don't think these cards would work over there because it's too far gone. They're going to have to have something bigger than affirmation cards. But, you know, in an office, that really did work. So I used that. I recommended that again to a family that was having a lot of difficulty after losing a grandparent who actually was the primary owner of the family estate and the ones that so many financially depended on, and her estate was in probate and people were arguing. And I recommended the same thing for that family to do, to put on every wall of her house. Because I said, you know, she is at the level of the soul exclusively now. Think of words that she might say and put them on these cards on every room of her house. They got that solved. They did. So, you know, I would recommend that not to every situation in life, because it's not going to solve everything. But there are situations, something as simple as that can actually help in resolving, because it reminds all of the people participating in a situation to bring their soul to the round table.
Mm-hmm. They're human, human to human, but then the soul is, I guess it's a combination of being human and having a soul for that.
You got it. You got it. Right. It's the human that hurts. It's the human that doubts. It's the human that has conflicts and worries and fears about how is this going to work out and is it going to work out for me. It's the human that's selfish. I'm sorry, but I mean, we all are. We have to take care of ourselves. And I don't mean that in a completely, I mean, self-centered way, but it's the human that worries about themselves. The soul doesn't worry about it. Like, what do I have to worry about? You know, I'm here. I'm safe. I got other things to worry about than myself. You know, like helping the children of the next generation. So, we have to remind each other in a way that doesn't see the thing about the cards is that you're not judging anybody. You're not handing them the forgiveness card. You know, you're not handing them the be a better person card. You know, there's no implied judgment. There's just free and random distribution of things that are good to remember.
They elevate the vibration, the thought of those words.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. Well, I'm so glad to talk to you, and so
thank
happy
you.
That that things are working for you, and that the next challenge will work even better because you are strong. As you get stronger, all of your challenges work out better.
Well, your call
thank
really
you,
helped reinstate my trust in. That I will have what I need. Really hard to get that little human brain to believe that, but something about these calls really helps me process that. So thank you so many more times.
You're very, very welcome.
Thank you, Christine.
We love you.
We're so glad you called
we love
today.
You. We do love you.
And thank
love
you for your kind words. Okay. We're so glad you called today. We have one more caller. Glenda, we have Mary Beth on the line. Mary Beth, can you hear us? Glenda?
Yes.
This is the queen.
Hi. And this is my first time to talk with you. But my problem is I have been diagnosed with macular degeneration. And, of course, you know, that is affecting my eyesight. And I just can't believe when they tell me that there's no cure. I just believe that there is a cure somewhere, some way. And that's what I would like a blessing for today.
Just okay.
To help me find the answer. And whatever I need to do or don't need to do.
Okay. Well, you've got my blessing 100%. And most of all, you've got Christ's blessing. And he can heal anything. You know, just because the medical community does not have the technical means to heal something doesn't mean it can't be healed. All right. Well, I will give you something to go by, just happened to me. I guess it must have been maybe 10 years ago. I was diagnosed with glaucoma, which also theoretically has no cure.
Right.
And it advances eventually into blindness. So you can imagine as an artist how stunned and frightened I was to receive that diagnosis. And I came back into the sitting room while I was waiting for the next procedure, let's put it that way. And I discussed it with some other people, and everybody was, "Oh, I am so sorry. We'll take it up in our prayer group." Well, I was glad to hear that. Was really a lovely statement of compassion, which I have for you too. At the same time, my response was, "Why are you so worried? God's in charge here."
Yeah.
And I both appreciated and didn't appreciate responses of that nature. And in the years, I had pretty bad, heavy pressure in those days, enough that it really, really scared my doctor. And over the years, with the right kind of treatment, I have a really unenviable level of pressure. It's like 10 and 12. If anybody knows about pressure in the eyes, it's like 10 and 12 now, which is, if I had never had any damage to the optic nerve, would be equivalent to, a completely healthy visual condition. And I have 20/20 vision, which, thank God, at that. And so I made the comment to my doctor the last time I was in for a checkup about how grateful I was, and she said, "Well, you've still got the damage that was done to your optical nerve. That nobody can do anything about it." I was thinking to myself, "Yeah, well, maybe, maybe you couldn't do anything about it." But of course, I wasn't going to be rude. I wasn't going to say that. I said, "Well, it's okay. I can live with this. You know, I can live with 20/20 vision."
Absolutely.
And, you know, and so what I realized is that I just didn't, from the time I was diagnosed to now, I just didn't resist the condition. And I said, "Well, God's in charge, and he's not going to let it get any worse. I'm doing fine, and I'm going to accept all the treatments that I'm given to make my eyes as healthy as we can make them, and I can live with it." I mean, let's face it, I'm not 16 years old and with the prospects of going blind before I'm 50. I'm up in years and I can live with this, and I'll have good eyesight for the rest of my life. And I just said that to myself and prayed it to God, and you can do the same thing, because this is not a verdict for your life. This is just the estimate of a clinician measuring the condition and giving you the probabilities of what you're dealing with. That's all. That's all. It is not a verdict for your life.
So just live in the most positive way and know that you can live with the condition, and the condition will not get any worse. This is one of the things that I have noticed in so many people that receive blessings, so many people that have had really severe diagnosis of stage 4 cancer, for example. Mm-hmm. And I just say, from this moment on, it will not get any worse.
Yes. Well, I'm taking shots in my eyes.
Yeah, good. Mm-hmm. It will not get any worse. It will not get any worse. And if it doesn't get any worse, it can only get better. And
right.
If it doesn't get any worse, well, you're living with it right now. If it doesn't get any worse, 20 years from now, you probably be fine. I don't know what your chronological age is, but
I'm going to be 90 in November.
You're going to be 90. Okay. If you live with it for 10 more years, you'll have eyes in heaven. So you'll be fine.
I don't feel 90, but they tell me that's what it is.
Well,
you don't sound 90 either.
I'm the same way. I mean, I do not feel my chronological age at all. And nobody who meets me, anybody who meets me, says, "Are you got to be kidding? Whose leg are you pulling?" And I said, "No, I'm not joking. I mean, I said, this is what my age actually looks like. I'm redefining it. This is another instance of transformation. See,
me
the
too.
Thing is, chronology moves in a straight line, okay?
Yes.
You're 50, 51, 52, and people say, "Oh, yeah, well, you look pretty good for 52. And then you get to be 54. Yeah, I can see the wear and tear. You go, "Oh, thanks. Geez, I could have gone all day without hearing that." But when you transform what other people have believed to be the inevitable reality, you've created a miracle for everybody. Anything we transform is a miracle for everyone, because you're redefining the possibility.
Mm-hmm.
And so let's just say to you, you hold it off for 20 years, and then you'll have eyes in heaven. Okay?
Okay.
Okay. And I don't think there's any eyesight problem there.
Good.
That's
good.
That's what I say. And there is no condition that cannot be stopped. A negative condition that cannot be stopped in its tracks.
Yes.
Because almost all of them happens because we were too engaged with the world to pay attention to ourselves. And this is one of the reasons that the question has been asked throughout the ages. Why do bad things happen to good people? Because good people are so engaged helping everybody else. They don't think about themselves. And there's the answer, my friend. Good people are sacrificing themselves for the benefit of others. They're taking the weight on their shoulders. They're working harder. And they're not paying attention to the pressures that are coming to bear on their own life. Mm-hmm. And it can happen to anyone. And you've got to not ever regard anything as punishment. Don't ever regard anything as, "Well, you're being told to stop and slow down." Don't pay attention to those thoughts that may come in. You've just been given an opportunity to stop something in its tracks.
Good.
Now you pay attention to yourself. You take care of yourself. You follow. Let your doctor help you. They're good. I have a lot of respect for our medical profession. Some doctors are a little more dedicated than others. I mean, but that's just human. It's just the way things are. But I have a lot of respect for the medical profession,
but it doesn't have all the answers, my friend.
Right.
It just doesn't. You know,
right.
We would all be well if it did. So we don't have to state the obvious. But don't forget to be grateful for what we have received as a blessing from the medical profession.
Yes.
Let them help you.
Yes.
Let them love you. Mm-hmm. Let them care about you. And it's okay if they even warn you about this, that, or the other. You can shake off the warning. But follow their advice. That's what I do.
Yes. Okay.
And we'll keep you in our hearts. Because we know, I can tell you, I totally understand.
What?
Different venues, same result.
Yeah. Yes. And thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Mary
and
Beth. Thank you.
It's so mm-hmm. good. So good to hear from you. All right. Well, Nancy,
yes.
is our board empty?
Our board is empty. And I do want to just say thank you to so many that called in today. But also there's so many new folks and just here today joining us that I haven't seen before. So welcome. And I hope you'll come back. We're here every week. And it's always such a blessing to us. So thank you.
Okay. Well, and also notice something you heard from people who've been coming for 20 years. They come back because they get results. The closer we get to God, the better our life becomes. And He doesn't always hand His blessings to us on a silver platter. Most of the time He hands the blessings to us by helping us be more effective, more efficient, wiser, with better intuition, making better choices. And that's actually what He wants. It's what any parent would want of their child. A good parent doesn't want to put their kid on the dole. No good parent does. They want their kids to be smart, wise, and competent, and high achievers, and being the best that can be. God wants the same of us. So look for the blessings coming from your soul down through your life and also from others in your environment, in your world, who come to you with the best of themselves, offering you everything from help to information to support or compassion. And it will happen. Blessings come to us from all directions, including
Definitely.
Just being in the right place at the right time to find exactly what we were looking for. God does send His angels to watch over us. And that's one of the lovely things about a blessing. Okay. We are moving into our blessing and our setup for the blessing. The first thing we need to do is get ourselves in a condition of receivership. And probably most of you have been listening and receiving up to this point, so it's not a big change for you, but some of you might have brought your worries or your anxieties to this call and were, even if you didn't speak them, you put them on the forefront of your mind and in your prayers so that God would know what you needed and what you came for. So right now, we just want to do something that will relax you and bring you into the peace that connects you with heavenly grace. Let's start with your body. I want you to just stretch as much as you can. If you can stand, please do. Please do, because you're going to get your feet firmly on the ground, and you're going to drop a lot of energy, blessing energy from the earth. So standing on those feet is a good beginning, and it also gives you a little mobility to turn your spine a little bit to the left and the right and bend over just a little bit, enough to stretch your legs, okay? Not too,
not to cause any stress to any body part, most especially not your back, but just stretch your legs, okay? And then you lean back just a little bit to stretch your diaphragm. And that's important because breathing is so important in getting us ready for the blessing. And now lift your arms. With even for those who can't stand, you can still stretch your legs out and do windmills of your foot. That opens up the corridor of movement in your leg. And then the other leg, and make a windmill with your foot. Okay? Because that, and move your foot forward to stretch the back of your leg and then down to stretch the front of your leg. Everybody, well, almost everybody can do that. And do what you can. And now we're going to move up to the arms. We're going to wiggle our shoulders. We're going to move our shoulders. Fold your shoulders to the front. And now fold your shoulders to the back. Lift your left arm and make a windmill of your arm, okay? Lift your right arm and make a windmill of your arm so that it's moving. Now, fold your arms at your elbows. So you're making like a bird. You're going to make little wings. Pardon me, I have to take a miniature break here. I'm sorry about that. But that could happen to anybody when you've been sedentary and you start to move. It affects your lungs, your diaphragm, and your back. I triggered a little coughing session that just had to happen. Otherwise, I wasn't going to be able to go forward. Now, you make little bird wings by folding your arms at your elbow, and you lift them up and down just like you're flying, okay? And that is going to activate your thymus. Your thymus is in the center of your chest where your sternum is. And the importance of your thymus is that it controls your endocrine system. Well, it doesn't control, but it activates your lymphatic system, and that activates your endocrine system. So you want your lymph to be moving. You know, the thing is, when we've been sedentary, our lymphatic circulation comes kind of to a standstill. You have to move to keep your lymphatic system moving because it doesn't have a propeller like your arterial system. Your arteries have your heart for the pump and the propeller, but your lymphatic system is entirely propelled by movement. And I can't overstate the importance of movement. However you can move every day, please do it because it affects it strengthens your immunity. It strengthens your endocrine system. And it helps to flush out toxins that have been building up in your body. You must move. However you can move, which is whatever your opportunity is, however it must be. And that doesn't mean you have to go to a gym or you even have to walk around the block. Just move. Walk around the house. I've gotten to the point at this point in my life where I don't mind if I forgot to pick up something in the bedroom because it's an opportunity for me to walk back and go get it. And that's okay. And if I forget something else, that's fine. I'll walk back to the bedroom, pick it up, and take it to the kitchen. It's all right. Movement is good. Movement, any kind, is good. So remember that in your daily activities. One of the most difficult things on our immunity today is that life is so sedentary. And this is one of the reasons we have a propensity for ailments that our ancestors did not have. They moved. Their survival depended on movement. And those of you who find yourself confined in a disabled condition, you still can move. You can lift something, if only you make a fist out of your hand. That propels more than you might think it would. Turning your head, lifting your shoulders. Whatever you can do, do it. Okay. Now, hopefully that relaxed you also. And now I want you to take a very deep breath, as full and deep as you can. Extend your diaphragm all the way down into your lower tummy, as far as you can go. And then push your shoulders up, hold it for a second or two, and now let it out in such a way that you really just squeeze your shoulders and your diaphragm together. So you're just getting that, all of that air out. All right, now we're going to bring some fresh air in. Do this again, one more time. Okay, deep breath. Pushing your diaphragm down, your shoulders up, full and rich. Oh, yeah. And now, pushing it out. Yes. All right. Now we're going to go back to our normal breathing, but we're going to pace it. We're going to pace it because pacing your breath is a very important rhythm of life. And it has a lot to do with being in harmony with all the rhythms of life, which essentially are giving, sharing, receiving, and incorporating. We give to others. We allow time for sharing to occur and receiving. And then we take what is given for us. And then we give time to incorporate and receive what was given. That's the fundamental rhythm of all life. You were born with your first breath. And you will leave with your first breath in heaven. That's the way it works. You're just still breathing, just on a different dimension. But for now, we're going to give our breath. We're going to work on this together. It's called the four square breath because you envision it just like moving around a square. We're going to exhale to the count of four. And it's your count of four because some of you are faster than others. And then we're going to wait to the count of four, the same count of four, for it to be received. Then we're going to take a totally new breath for ourselves to the count of four. And we're going to pause for a count of four before we exhale so that what we inhaled can be used by our body. And then we exhale what we're ready to give to the count of four. And we do this over and over again. One of the reasons for this is a good breath. It's a good practice of breathing because it's not straining in any way. It's just a normal breath that you're being mindful about. And it actually causes you to be more mindful of your life because this is the way life works. You give. And you give to someone. And you wait for them to receive the gift and use it. Because when you take in your next breath, it may come from another source entirely. And it probably should. Because you don't want to breathe back in the same breath you gave. You want to take a new breath back in. This is how we gain inspiration. New ideas. Opportunity.
And we don't want to exhale it immediately without using it. Use it. Take it in. Let it refresh your body. Hold it. And then exhale that which you're ready to release. And then breath becomes the nourishment of life. You can actually use this breath if you start to get hungry. Instead of getting a snack, use this breath. I mean, now really do it. Really do what I'm saying. Okay. You'll find you're not hungry. You can stave off your hunger for a good 20, 30 minutes until you can either drive home, get a meal somewhere, or have a meal even later because you're nourishing yourself. Hunger is what you're saying to yourself. I need nourishment. Your body needs to be nourished. And I think one of the reasons so many people are having a problem with their weight these days is we're trying to nurture ourselves, mostly and primarily with foods. There are so many other ways to nurture yourself. I suggest you count the ways that you can be nurtured. This is one of them. And it works. If you get hungry at work, but you can't take a lunch break for 30 minutes, just start the four square breath. And you'll find you're just fine for 30 minutes. And you don't get there as well at the desk or with the next person that calls you. You're fine. Now, continue this breath during the blessing, but also once I have offered my prayers to Yeshua, I would ask that you start your prayer. Because in asking, you receive. The blessings will be coming to you abundantly and freely. But you want the ones you want. And that helps to attract the blessings you most need now. The ones that fulfill your desire and your urgency at the moment. So, I will offer my prayer to Yeshua. And blessing givers, will you join me? Dear Yeshua, our Lord, our brother, commander of life, co-creator of the universe, the one who knows how it all works, the one who knew how to raise the dead and resurrect yourself into eternal life. Because you are the living soul that walks among us and reminds us always, remember your soul. Walk with your soul and the soul of others. We ask that you hear all the prayers of our community. Give them peace and solace and nurturing and completion and help with their prayers. We ask for your help on behalf of those who don't know to pray, who don't know that they can, and yet they are still your brothers and your sisters. They may be in conflict with others, and yet they are still children of God. We ask that you be with us all, and that you give to all of us the best that we can have, the best that we can be, and help us to do the best we can do with what we have been given. We ask that you inspire us and lead us and show us the bright light on the horizon.
And we pray especially for the children worldwide, that you relieve their suffering and take them out of dangerous conditions, that you send in rescuers that are there to love and care and bring children home to their families or give them new families who love and care for them. We thank you for our food. We thank you for our life, for our health, and for our abundance in living. We ask that you bring our world closer to God, our Creator, regardless of the diversity of beliefs we have about our Creator and creation. For we were created by one who loves us all. We are here to receive your blessings, the blessings of our Father, and the rich anointing of the Holy Spirit, that our soul may be wise and filled with richness, that it will descend into our life. In all these ways and all these words, we ask in your name, your blessed, your sacred name. Amen. Let us begin. Everyone receiving, start your prayer, and blessing givers, please join me. Amen, amen, and amen. Your blessing has been given. Now, it's for you to continue receiving. To start the receiving, I want you to lie down on a bed. I mean, flat. It could be a mat on the floor. That's fine as long as you're, I want you horizontal, completely horizontal. And just relax. Do not think. Do not even continue your prayer, because that's asking. And I want you receiving now. Just be a blank slate upon which God writes his will and his will for your life and the gifts he's giving you. And let your body be afloat on an ocean of possibility. If you fall asleep, that's fine. Just be at peace and receive. That's all you have to do. And bye-bye for now. God bless you.